Blog Talk Radio.
Forward then, to independence. To independence now. Tomorrow.
Yeah, they say those who do not move do not feel the change, but the African people aware of the pain, aware of the game, invader deception, black presidents who are white man extensions, people from Cape to Cairo rebel, cause fake independence and ongoing hell, colonial ties still keep them chained, the richest continents getting robbed again, the IMF and World Bank criminal schemes, what about reparations? To me it seems that every metropole from Amsterdam to Paris and Brussels was built with the hands of African labor, a slave relation, developing Europe at expense of their nation, but Africans rebel from the first conquest till flag independence at last accomplished.
Il y en a qui demandent la lutte de tout l'impérialisme. L'impérialisme, regardez dans vos affaires, quand vous mangez les grains de riz, de maïs, de mil importés. C'est ça l'impérialisme, n'allez pas plus loin.
Yeah. Ayo, the spirit of Lumumba lives on in Congo, like Thomas Sankara in Burkina Faso, Samora Michelle, it was Viva Frelimo, but Mozambique still fighting for freedom. Why did these three who dare to invent the future then clash to the fullest extent with the colonizers? If we open eyes, if we can see the rich whites, we're scared of rising African power, real independence, a people's politics, anti-capitalism. So they stifle their growth in every way, so that South Africa looks colonized today. For any flaws of Mugabe, that ain't what they hate. Zimbabwe's not a colony, make no mistake. Look at AFRICOM, the African command. That's the US and a puppet shaking each other's hands. Divide and conquer is a hell of a tactic. They blame Africa for relations that backward. The whole basis was plunder from outside Rwanda, Uganda. Sudan's divides, pushing forward war for precious coal sand. So cell phones and PCs are sold in lands where people don't know how they were constructed. Your Windows now functions from a child's destruction.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Newton's lawyer?
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
You're waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad brothers!
Free the Soledad brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over.
Mr. Jackson. Sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today. Get him where it hurts.
Starring Gary Dorden from TVCSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the land. Rebel Sharon greeting. Welcome to another edition of Georgia University Radio. I'm your host, Bumana, and here with Jahad Shakir. Georgia University was founded in 2003 by Abdul Lugba Shakir, Satawa Natamba Jama, Odara Kambon, Abasi Ghana, Yafi Ayapo, Dr. Donald R. Evans, and Dr. Rashi Ali, and developed the concept of transferring from the entire U.S. prison Dutch slave company, the PISC, into the largest university in this country. The niche name for the prize was University of Mind. But on this title, we received very minimal feedback. So by the summer of 2003, we decided to name our university, Georgia University. Our first step towards revising the GJU and developing a strong and dedicated outside support network and faculty. We are reinstituting the concept of transforming the entire U.S. prison industrial slave complex into the largest progressional education institution in the country, with emphasis on Afrocentric and Pan-African studies and new African political education. Our goals are fivefold. The first goal is to eradicate functional illiteracy among new African black prisoners. Two, to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. Three, transform the criminal mentality to the new African mentality. Four, to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of the new African communities. Five, to prepare a new African prisoner for release, reduce new African recidivism. That's the name of our radio show. Georgia University Radio was founded in 2014 by myself and five local comrades in regards to keeping the legacy alive, spreading the information, and kicking forward the resistance through a form of propaganda. Propaganda is a tool. It's a tool of education. It's an educational tool. So our emphasis is education for liberation. Before I bring our guests on, I would like to share a couple of events that happened during this month in history. I'm also going to read a document called Rebuilding Support from our Political Prisoner Prisoner War. Okay. On February 23rd, 1868, Dr. W. Du Bois was born in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. W. Du Bois was one of the founders of the Pan-African Congress. He wrote books like he wrote various books like The Soul of Black Folks. He also was a very confrontational individual who had a lot of conflict with the great Marcus Mosiah Garvey of the University of New York Improvement Association. They had a great ordeal. They had a lot of conflict and ordeals taking place during that time limit. Okay. In 1915, February 23rd, Robert Smalls, the Reconstruction Congress, died in Beaufort, South Carolina, at age of 75. February 24th, 1811, Reverend Daniel Payne became the first black college professor president. Okay, in February 24th, 1966, leaders of the army and police overthrew the government of Ghana president Kwame Nkrumah, who was an agent on the Vietnam peace mission. Nkrumah was welcomed in Guinea, where he was given the honorary title of President of Guinea and Ghana. February 25th, 1960, Alabama State College student staged first sit-in in the Deep South at the Montgomery, Alabama courthouse. Also on February 25th, 1975, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the founder of the Lost Foundation of Islam that became known as the Nation of Islam, dies in Chicago, Illinois. Also on February 25th, 1839, Seminoles and their black allies shipped from Tampa, Florida to the West. Also, February 19, 1867, new registration law in Tennessee abolished racial distinctions in voting. Also, on February 25, 1971, FBI files were stolen from an agency office and distributed to the press and proved that the government organized widespread surveillance of civil rights leaders and anti-war activists. Also, in February 25, 1978, Ahmaud Evans died in prison. Ahmaud Evans was responsible for the night. He was responsible for rebellion in Ohio, 1967, in Cleveland, Ohio, in regards to race disputes and poverty, miseducation, and former resistance. He also founded on the Libya movement. He was a self-proclaimed citizen of Republic of Africa. Also, on February 25, 2014. We lost a pioneer in the struggle, Baba Choka Lumumba, who was a new African attorney, one of the co-founders of the New African People Organization, one of the co-founders of the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. He was the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, an overall activist and revolutionary on this day. Also, on February 25th, 1870, Round R. Revels was sworn in as the first black U.S. senator and the first black in Congress. Okay. Let's see what we got. On February 26th, Dr. Carl G. Woodson founded the Associated Publishing in 1920. Carl G. Woodson is the one that was responsible for founding Black History Week in the same month of February, where we became known as Black History Month. Okay. also on February 26, 1978, Mangaliso Sabukwe, the founder of the Pan-African Congress of Azania, he would die also on February 26, 1870. Wire Outlaw, the black leader of the Union League in Almanac County, North Carolina, lynched. Also on February 26, 1925, Robert Williams was born. Robert Williams, he wrote a book called Negro Guns. He was responsible for the Black Armed Guard with the resistance movement in the late 50s in North Carolina. He won the co-founder of the Provisional Negro Republic of Africa. He was active in the Revolution Action Movement. He was an old Rob Freedom Fighter and brother of resistance. Also on February 26, 1869, the 15th Amendment guaranteed the right to vote sent to the states for ratification. Also in February 26, 1946, it was a race riot that popped off in Columbiana, Tennessee. Two people were killed and 10 were wounded. On February 27, 1872, Charlotte E. Ray, she was the first black woman lawyer, graduated from Howard University and was admitted to practice law on April the 23rd. Okay, on February 28, 1942, the race riots popped off at Sojourner Truth in Detroit, Michigan. We came on the 1942 riots in Detroit. On February 29th, we had the death of Robert S. Abbott, founder and publisher of the Chicago Defender newspaper in 1940. Also in 1940, on February 29th, Richard Wright wrote and published The Native Son. Also on February 29th, the National Advisory Commission on Civil Disorders, known as the Kern Commission, said white racism was the fundamental cause of the riots in American cities in 1968. They did go to show you that we're facing a racist, sadistic beast, and white supremacy is our enemy in the system that must be destroyed. And infused capitalism, imperialism, other aspects of tentacles and deal with that continue to keep our people oppressed. Okay, now I'm about to read the document called Bill to Support File, Political Prisoner, Prisoner of War. It starts out with a quote by Baba Dr. John Henry Clark. He wrote, "The quality and nature of struggle waged in this country must be viewed in a historical context. First, it must be recognized that we are brought here against our will, making us mass political prisoners and prisoners of war. The initial laws of this country, the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, did nothing to change this status. The inherited state that law and inclusion did not apply to us, and we have essentially remained outside to the present. We must always look at our situation differently from those who have been included within the American society. Ours have been a continuous struggle, starting with the catcher, the middle passage, slave revolts, and each successive generation of revolutionaries. The black freedom fighter who resisted militarily in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, following the tradition of DMR Vesey, Nat Turner, and Malcolm X. Their struggle, our struggle, is similar to other people in the world striving for human rights and self-determination. Today, these world struggles are gaining legal recognition and protection in the growing body of international law violated by the third world. Part of our task now is to have the international community recognize and protect the just struggle of the black freedom fighter within the USA. I believe in the constant struggle for freedom to end oppression and build a better world. I believe in collective struggle and fashioning victory in concert with my brothers and sisters aligned for the new African creed. Okay, our political prisoner and prisoner of war, several who have been in American prison for almost 40 years or longer, slammed out to the world our liberation struggle, and none have catapulted. Activists and soldiers who have been as a result of their participation organized around issues that directly affect our subjugated nation. Nowhere is the spirit of the struggle greater than maximum security prison. They have stood up, fought, and some have died for us. In all good conscience, can we do anything less for them? It seems that though we are currently hesitant in our needed and very necessary support, in the not too distant past, previous administrations, the support for our political prisoners and prisoners of war was and must be again an integral part of our struggle, independent reparation and sovereignty. In fact, the question of our political prisoner and prisoner of war were a referendum on our national election ballot. Nor should we forget that our political prisoner and prisoner of war participate in our election behind prison wall. Article 3, Section 1, the Code of Georgia, Constitution of the Provisional Republic of Africa. The first four members, the final source of all new African law, the new African people. Section 2, line 1 goes on to state, the code of the motor shall be the supreme law of the Republic of New Africa. There can be no question that if we are indeed in struggle to free our nation, the freedom of our political prison and prison wall must be a high priority. Brother Owusu Yaki Yakuba stated in Can't Jail the Spirit, our definition of political prisoners and prisoner of war have always sought to be consistent with the internationally recognized criteria and have been conditioned by the development of the objective and subjective reality of our movement become more mature as the conflict between our movement and U.S. capitalist colonialism sharpened. We will no doubt witness the elaboration and broader setting of political prison and prisoner of war held by the U.S. Political prisoners are not defined in the code of the motive, which means needs to be amended because new African nations are under attack. We are in a war, a low intensity war, but war nonetheless. Nonetheless, where all the casualties and prisoners taken in what is called conventional war. Definitions. Political prisoner category 1. A person, a new African that is incarcerated for action carried out in support of legitimate struggle for self-determination or for opposing illegal oppressive policy of U.S. government and as a political subdivision. Example, Iman Jamil Amin, Muhammad Abu Jamal. Political prisoner category 2. These are prisoners who were not initially in prison for political action, but became conscious and active while in prison. The political activity of politicized prisoners is called for harsh state repression. These prisoners deserve our support. Example, Rochelle Sink and McGee, George J. Alfred Woodford, Herman Wallace of the Angola 3. Prisoner of war, for our combatant held in confinement for waging armed struggle against alien and colonial domination. Example, Sunar Kola, Jadil Muhtar King. Political imprisonment. All forms of imprisonment of our people are political. Prisoners are used as a weapon of social control by the state. New African people are targeted by the police, sent to prison, and provide free or cheap labor for the state. Percentage-wise, there are more new African incarcerated than any other ethnic group in the U.S. The U.S. Counterintelligence Program, headed by the FBI, clearly stated the goal to disrupt, misdirect, discredit, neutralize the Black Liberation Movement, and goes on to state to prevent the rising of Black Messiah, capable of uniting and electrifying the youth. New African youth are today political prisoners, although they are along with our master unaware of their fact. They need to be taught the history of our struggle. Their history needs to be taught and preserved. But there needs to be a clear understanding between criminal behavior and mentality and incarceration based on political consciousness. Example, New African independence. We must remain consistent if the world is to continue to take our struggle serious. The federal government needs to continue to pursue non-government organization status at the United Nations to keep our demand for independence and sovereignty on an international level, well as the issue of our political prisoner and prisoner of war by way of our ministry. Although the U.S. denied their existence, our founding mother and father laid down a solid foundation. We must study the groundwork by our previous administration and continue to strengthen that actuality and our overall determination for our administration to the next, one generation to the next. Free the land, free all political prisoners, and prisoner of war. Yeah. See, we facing a war going on in regards to our people. Mass incarceration, free Dutch slave complex, the military Dutch slave complex. It's an illness that is profited by capitalist and imperialist body. They continue to enslave our people. So now I would like to bring on our guest to the show tonight, Conrad Tlaib Shakur. The line is open, brother. How you doing, brother?
Peace and blessings. How y'all doing? Grace and peace and all the universal greetings to the people out there in the land. First and foremost, yeah, that was an inspiring history lesson you just gave. Definitely salute you on that. What's happening?
What's up? I appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you and all the work you're doing, brother. Before we start, man, can you tell a little people about yourself, who you are, and get a better understanding of who
absolutely.
You are?
Yes, absolutely. I'm Tlaib Shakur, one of the sons of Dr. Mutulu Shakur, you know, born and raised in South Jamaica, Queens. And just recently, I guess 4 years ago, that's when I found out that this great man is my father. So from this point on, I've just been going to visit him, spending time with him, and just pushing forward for his freedom.
True indeed.
Want some more? I'm listening.
True indeed. Go ahead, bro.
Well, you know, I have a little update for y'all to, you know, You know, he's pushing for his compassionate release. I don't know if a lot, everybody knows that, unfortunately, he's dealing with stage bone marrow cancer. And, yes, he's on the last stage of his chemo. And when I went to go see him last week, he wasn't in the best condition, just say it like that. And we just got to keep the prayers going and just keep pushing forward. You know, we had to end the visit a little bit earlier because my wife and I wanted him to get some rest. But we did go and visit him the next day, and he was a little more upbeat. But anytime somebody dealing with this type of element, it's not an easy battle. So he just wished that everybody that, you know, first and foremost, he always want to send his blessings and appreciation to everybody that has been supporting him for all these years. He do not take nobody for granted, and he truly appreciate everybody. He said, if he do not respond to all the letters and cards, please forgive him, because sometimes the chemo have him tired and he want to rest and stuff like that. But they're not going on deaf ears. He is truly humble for the support and stuff that he has been receiving. If anybody that don't have his information, allow me to give you his information that can link y'all to where he is located. Of course, you know the name Dr. Mutulu Shakur. If you don't have his ID number, the ID number is 832-05-012. And the facility he's at now is FMC Lexington. That's in Kentucky, P.O. Box 14500. And the zip code is 40412. So that's the first day of action that we're pushing for, you know, everybody to put their letters together, their support, to reach out to, you know, to show the hierarchy, the powers that be, that he do have a lot of love out here and he need to be free, you know, because he's 4 years over his maximum time that he's supposed to been in there. So, yeah, they playing a lot of games, and you see what they do to our people. So if we don't band together and stick together, you know, they leave great men like him behind them walls just to rot away. You know, unfortunately, we had lost a couple of other individuals this past year, you know, due to health issues and things like that. So compassion and relief will help to try to help free him, because it's not a fluke. He really do have this unfortunate condition, and they playing games with his medical records. So we're in the process of trying to acquire that, because those medical records are viable information to help go towards his next hearing to push for a compassionate release. The day two would be for all those that are on social media or any networks, please send your hashtags and, you know, all types of support to all your social media outlets. And we recommend for you to use hashtag free Dr. Mutulu Shakur, hashtag straight ahead, you know, and hashtag Mutulu Shakur is welcome here. Those hashtags will definitely circulate and, you know, bring more of a buzz than what we have now. His Twitter, if you would like to know, that the Twitter account is at Free Mutulu Shakur. The Instagram is at Free Dr. Shakur. So it's FREEDRMSAKUR. I'll say that again. At FREEDRMSHAKUR. All right. Facebook is Free Mutulu Shakur. So those are the outlets that you could definitely get in contact with us. If you want to send donations, you could definitely send it to Mutulu Shakur, family and friends, Mutulu Shakur. Okay. That's family and friends, Mutulu Shakur, and that's a PayPal. His present conditions, like I said, he's going through it, and we just wishing the best for him.
True indeed. Can you tell us about the petition? About the petition, how can people can sign the petition to free Dr. Mutulu Shakur?
So you could go to family and friends of Dr. Mutulu Shakur and could see the petition on the website, and it has like an outline on how to address the letter and so forth, so on. And it's like a cut and dry, you know, it don't have to be a long 2, 3, 4 pages. We want to make sure the letter's at least one page, and that page is a very powerful page, because we want to make sure that the commissioners and the rest of them have the time to read them. We don't want them to see 3 or 4 pages and they just want to throw them to the wayside. That won't be a good look for us. So if you have any specific narrative that y'all share personally and how he have helped y'all along the line, those are the letters that definitely are important, because it shows a humane part of Dr. Mutulu Shakur. I'm in contact with a lot of brothers that's been captive with him that's out here in society now, and they have put together some powerful letters, because they are able to, you know, these are the men that was hardened, you know, I don't want to say criminals, because we're not criminals, but, you know, rough behind the edges and went through a lot of street elements, and they changed their life around due to the leadership of this great man who was my father that they have in captivity for all these years. So those type of interviews or those type of letters are important, you know. Legal realm, if you have any legal advice, you could also send it to the website, and we would definitely review it and see what type of substance it does have to help move along. He have a good legal team, but of course everything costs. So, you know, the legal team is doing all that they can, but everything isn't a free ride. So if any donation was to come through, portion of it will be towards his legal defense, and you can just send it to family and friends, Dr. Mutulu Shakur, PayPal.
Okay, I understand that a document is being administrated in support of Dr. Mutulu Shakur. You tell her how people get involved with documentary, and how can they donate to the cause and other aspects and difference like that.
Okay, yes, all right. So we had a promo up for like 45 days for the documentary that we're putting together. We still putting together the documentary, and we're going to relaunch the promo again in a couple of weeks. We didn't reach the goal yet that we was looking for. However, we still taking donations to help push for this goal that we are looking for. So if you if anybody would like to donate to the Indiegogo fundraiser for Dr. Mutulu Shakur, the promo documentary, the title is Dr. Mutulu Shakur, Truth and Reconciliation. You could contact me direct, and I could, you know, further advise you to where you could donate to for it. You have my phone number, so if you would like a brother, if they would contact you to get the information, like my phone number, that's cool, or I could just give it to them now. Which way you prefer?
I really pray that they could get in contact with me now. I just passion on like that, bro. I do it like
all right, that's cool. Not a problem. So just make sure that you and I will collaborate after off air. But yeah, as long as they leave a voicemail or a text, I definitely get back with them. You know, because there's so much going on in the realm of trying to push towards freedom. I mean, that's all that we are doing at this time, is focus on different elements of trying to free this man and supporting all the other political prisoners that are in captivity, You know, even though this passion is for my father, because he is my father, I still have passion for the other brothers and sisters that are in captivity that need to be free as well. So we can't forget about them. So whichever way it's possible for us to really push forward for more than one individual at a time to help for the freedom, we must do so. You know, too many of our brothers and sisters are passing away behind the wall, or when they first get home, a couple of weeks, couple of months, next thing you know, they meet their demise. For the sake of what? For the sake of our people. They fighting for our people, for the liberation of our people. But yet, this is the end of the fight? Nah, that's not cool. So that's why we must pick up the torch to continue doing the righteous thing in society to help continue pushing on for our people in general.
True indeed, true indeed. I understand that you received that year when it got received an award for your father at the Black Power Awards in Atlanta. Can you tell more about
this? Oh, you remember that? Yeah. Say again.
I said, can you tell the people about a little bit more about this award that you received in regard to your father, the Black Power Awards?
Yes. It was the Black Power Awards. I think 3 years ago, it was in Atlanta, and I must admit, Atlanta definitely showed us some real love, you know, and we truly appreciate it. You know, I got nothing but respect for Atlanta, Georgia, you know, the whole campaign that's going on out there. I mean, y'all for real about it, and I salute all of y'all. You know, when I came out there to represent for them, you know, I got nothing but open arms. Open arms. So I didn't get the open arms for me. The open arms was because of who this great man is. So we truly appreciate, you know, honoring my dad with this award right here. If we was on live or whatever, you'd see the award right now, right on our showcase that we have here in the house. One of the awards. Then you have another one for acupuncture out in Puerto, Cuba. They honor him as well. They got a plaque out here on my podium as well for him. So, yeah, all over the world he gets all types of love, all types of respect. And we have to just give it all back because the fight isn't an individual fight. The push isn't an individual push. We have to push collectively to make the change in this world. And the way I help to make the change in this world is how I mentor our at-risk and troubled youth to have them change their mindset from a negative mindset to a positive. I take it because of myself. I unfortunately had to travel the prison system for 16 years. So while I'm in there, I'm saying to myself that I had to change, and I do not want to see any other young brother or sister travel the travels that I have traveled. So once I was released, I dove right into, you know, working with juvenile justice, gang intervention, violence awareness, youth coordinator, advocate, mentor. I have a slew of titles, you know, and that's my way on helping the communities to make the change. Because once we realize what the community needs, that's what we better to help make the change. So the youth that I've dealt with, only thing they always talk about is the reason why they do this is because they have lack of money, lack of resources and stuff. So being that, you know, I have the entrepreneur mindset and mentality, that's how I'm able to grab them close to me. I teach them how to make money without having to get it in a negative way, you know. I received my 501c3 from a youth program that I'm putting together. So you can look out for that as well. And all this is still in the realm of the energy and the spirit of the Shakur family and the brand. We all are about helping our community, helping our families, helping our friends, you know, to push forward. My sister Cetra, She's pushing forward with the Tupac Amaru Foundation, you know, mental health and wraparound services. You know, Mopreme Shakur, he's doing all the consulting work with the industries and things and such. So, you know, we just still pushing forward for the sake of seeing a better tomorrow.
True indeed. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because that legacy goes real far back to Sheikh Salim Abdul-Shakur, you know what I'm saying, who's the father of the Shakur family. You know, the legacy goes back to the 60s, the early 60s, you know. Everybody from that legacy has been proven to be very resourceful in regards to the people needs, and as well as being fighters, resistant and freedom fighters, all the way up to the early 60s, all the way to now, to present day. And I want to ask you. Yes, sir.
Well, I'm listening.
Yes, sir.
Say again.
Yeah, now I want to ask you, I know you first met your father in 2015, right? What type of experience was that? You know, how did it actually feel? How did it make you feel? You know, what was the experience?
I had a lot of mixed feelings, and to be honest with you, a lot of it wasn't negative. It was just the fact that I just didn't know. All my years growing up, I was under the impression that somebody else was my biological father, a man that I'd never seen before, never heard his voice, none of that. So my travels growing up, first and foremost, my dad, Mutulu Shakur, lived right next door to me, where my family grew up at, and we never knew that he was my biological father. So now, I never seen him around there because he was underground around that time, but the house that, you know, everybody have family next door that you play with while you're growing up, you know, family friends and stuff like that, neighborhood friends. Just so happened, right next door, that's where I used to, you know, play at as a kid and stuff like that. And here it is, I'm playing around inside my dad's house and not know that he's my dad. So the nieces and nephews and aunties and stuff that we played calling cousins and aunties and things, that was actually my actual family. And I'm not knowing it all this time. So bring it up full circle, when I was released from prison, I'm on a train one day going to work. And then this man with African garment, he asked me, "Excuse me, sir, are you Dr. Mutulu Shakur's son?" That's when, because I've been hearing that all my life, but I just, you know, threw it to the wayside because, again, my mother telling me somebody else is my father, right? So now I just threw it to the wayside, yeah. And I just told the man, "Nah, sir, I don't know the man. Sorry." And I walked to the right. He walked to the left of the platform. Before I was about to walk up on the stairs, something told me to turn around and look. Sure enough, this man is still standing in the middle of the platform with a confused look on his face. It was like he couldn't believe it. So just by his look alone made me think, like, wait a minute, that's it. I'm going to really go home and ask my mother, you know, the question that I've been wanted to ask her for the longest. So I didn't wait to get home. I called her. When I called her, I asked her, "Ma, why you never introduced him to my father before?" So she said, "You never met your father before?" I said, "No, have you ever introduced me to him?" She said, "Oh, he was just running around, couldn't get up with William, and just the way it was." So I said, "Let me ask you the real question I want to ask you." She said, "What's that?" I said, "Is it possible that Dr. Mutulu Shakur is my biological father?" So she paused for a second, and she said, "Yes, son, yes, that is your biological father." So from that day, like the next day, I went to work, and I gave the receptionist his name and number, and I asked her to look up this name and get the address and everything for me. So before I went to my office, she had all the information. So when I went in the office, I just sat in the office and I just wrote him right then and there. And when I wrote him, I didn't tell him that he was my father. I explained to him where I grew up at, family that I've been around, family that I know, people that he may know, and stuff like that. So before I ended the letter, I asked him, is it possible that you might be my biological father? Is it possible that you might be my biological father? And if it's all right for us to take a DNA test and things like that. So he wrote me back less than a week later, well, about a week later, and big caps on the letter. He said, wow, I finally found my son. I'm never going to lose contact with you again. Here's your family names and number. And first on the list was Afeni Shakur. To the next was Cetra Shakur, then Mopreme Shakur, and it went all the way down. All right. So once I received all of that, I called Cetra first because I was too nervous to call Afeni because, you know, Afeni, she's like an icon. And I can't believe that I have an actual number type of thing. And come to find out she's family, so that blew me away. So when I called Cetra, she was waiting for my call. She said, "Wow, we're waiting for your call, bro. Listen, mommy got some plane tickets for you and your wife to come down. We the family said waiting to meet you." And sure enough, I got the plane tickets. We come down there, and I don't know if you ever seen the Antoine Fisher story, but at the end of the Antoine Fisher, where all the family met him in the living room, and he had like maybe, I don't know, 40, 50 family members in the living room. And then the matriarch of the family, the grandmother, she stood up, put her hands on his face, looked him up and down, and said, "Why, you are one of ours," and sit down, and they ate. I had almost the same exact situation with Afeni, because she did the same thing to me, and that wow. Blew me away. Yeah, that definitely blew me away. And my wife and I was able to take one picture with her, and she gave me a picture of her, Tupac, and my sister, Setua. She said, "I want you to keep this dear to you." And I think 3 months later or so, or maybe a little bit longer than that, because she was supposed to be at our wedding, she passed away. Yeah, man. So that was troublesome right there. Okay, so I get emotional when I speak that part sometimes. So bringing it full circle now, after that, you know, it's just like it was nothing but family love after that. I've been to visit my dad a number of times. I've been to spend time with the family on the regular. My life just went from one element to a whole different element, because before I even found out who my biological family is, they're still my biological family, my mother's side and stuff. It was only like maybe 7 family members that we had collectively, and that's no exaggeration. Once I found out who my biological father is, it's like the floodgate of family opened, and I have pictures to prove it too. So, you know. Yeah, it's wild right now. But, you know, I just stay humble and stay focused on trying to push the agenda that my dad wants us to push. And that's, you know, equal rights for everybody, truth and reconciliation, you know, helping others, being humble, being passionate towards the next person, feelings, being strong and firm when we need to be strong and firm. And, you know, aim high and go all out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, out of all your time talking with your father, can you tell some of the most important things that lesson that he told you that you follow in your life today?
Well, I mean, I can't say one important part, because everything that come out this man's mouth is important to me. You know, mind you, I haven't known him for 48 years of my life, so I'm on edge trying to learn as much as possible, because he's a plethora of information. So for me to just say one thing, it's like so much. But you want me to be honest with you, I learned a lot from all of you. And that's the God honest truth, because there's so many narrative of different people that he has affected in their life. And sometimes I used to be sad or not jealous, but felt some type of way like, damn, he done instilled so much in these young men and these ladies and older ladies and older men, you know, lives that day. I missed out on all of that. So I embrace all conversations from anybody that had any type of relationship or have any type of relationship with them. Those are the people that I want to have my phone number so we could sit down and we could break bread and tell me all that you can tell me about my father, you know, because he tell me his side about him, and it's a beautiful travel that he take me through. But hearing it from those that he have taught or helped along the way, imagine if I didn't know from the beginning that he was my father, the type of knowledge, wisdom, understanding I could have received from this great man, you know? So individually, what he tells me right now is that, yo, listen, just keep doing what you're doing because you are doing everything right. I have my ears to the street about you. I found out about you, and you're doing a lot of good things out there and how you respect people and how people respect you. Yes, you are Shakur. You are Shakur. You just continue pushing forward, and I'm proud of you. So things like that gives me inspiration because that's coming from a general right there. You know, that's coming from a person that's been through a lot, and he's still pushing forward for the better good.
Pioneer struggle. The pioneer in the struggle. He got over 50-some years in the struggle. Pioneer.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Pioneer. A pioneer. And he's still pushing, you know, because a lot of people in this predicament would have curled. So I salute all the brothers and sisters that's going through that struggle for the liberation of our people. You know, there's what's going on in this world today need leaders like him out here, because I mean, here it is, he was one of the ones that had the Crips and Bloods stop what they was doing and unite, and you know, back then. He's the one that's the doctor, first black doctor of acupuncture in the whole North America. So he's a healer. You know, he healed over 700 people thus far, probably way more than that, you know. So this is a man to really pay attention to really, you know, push forward with. And I do everything that I can, you know, positively to move forward, to keep our legacy alive, to keep our family united. And when we say family, family don't always have to be blood family. You know, I have so many brothers and sisters now, and I'm up here like, where do they come from? And how's that a brother? How's that a sister? So he makes sure it's understood that, listen, everything in bloodline don't have to be brother and sister. Long as they, you know, pushing forward for a better good and they treat you with respect and they have good character about them, that's your brother. You know, that's your sister. So when I see brothers and sisters with the name Shakur on the back, I salute you, you know. I salute you because that means something. That means a lot. A lot of people could have chosen any other name to put on the back of their name. But they choose that because, for one, that means thankful to God. So that means that you definitely balance on that aspect alone. And then when you go through the history of Shakur, you realize that, yeah, that's something special.
Sure, indeed, man. It's a real legacy that has it encompassed various movements, from the Black Liberation Movement to the Human Rights Movement to the New African Independent Movement, as well as the prison movement. It had embraced various movements throughout this century and decade, you know, that inspired many individuals who had done sufficient work in regard to propaganda, materials, institutions, books, other platforms and aspects that are needed to uplift the people, to liberate the people mentally, well, and physically, right? So that's a long legacy of things, you know, that influences and motivations that people had gained. Just by the name alone, or just by the legacy alone, just by the history of the struggle alone, you know, it inspired many people to do certain things that people are still doing it to this day. You know, it inspired me.
years ago, you know. And I'm still pushing as far as other individuals. You know? So we still pushing in that aspect because we understand certain things, man, that need to be done. We're doing the message of apostles like their radio show. Right. Myself and up, other comrades came together. We came together, you know, as a way to, like, you know, we need control of the narrative as much as possible. Due to the fact we know the enemy controlled the narrative in regard to any kind anything on social media, any telecommunication. So at any chance, anytime we get a chance to do so, to control the narrative, to influence or motivate it, we should do that, and that's what we're doing right now. As much as possible.
Absolutely. Do you have guests that come up to the station, or is everything for calling?
It's just a call in broadcast. No, we don't have no building. It's just a call in broadcast.
No, the reason why I ask that is because I have a slew of individuals, so many that he's been that's been incarcerated with him here now. And I think it'll be important for us to get on a nice conference call one day on your station so y'all can really hear some more from different individuals that's been captive with him, you know, and how he helped change their lives. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that sounds good to me, bro. That sounds real good.
Things go right, my wife and I plan on relocating out there, and by being out there, we want to put together a youth program, and a lot of the agendas that my dad is pushing, we would like it to be in there, like Black History Studies. You know, he's into music, like rap, hip-hop and stuff, because, you know, him and Tupac was, like, inseparable, you know? So we want to continue pushing. Yeah, we want to continue pushing things that's on the Shakur's agenda, mental health, you know, anything that'll help a person, you know, better their life. That's what the not-for-profit is. The name of it's going to be It Takes a Village Youth Program, a Shakur Project. And once I get out there, I want to really look around to get connected with some of the elected officials and, you know, whoever that could help bring this to fruition for us. So, you know, yeah, we are definitely be in contact.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man, I want to thank you for coming to our platform to share your knowledge with the understanding, right? And do you have time for a couple of callers and all that? To talk to you, a couple of callers? You have time for a couple of callers?
Yeah, for a couple, yeah, I'm here. Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm going to open the lines up. Okay, let me see. 562-212, your line is open. You have a question, comment, statement for the guest. Please do so at your time. 562-212, your line is open.
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, we can hear you, Mom's car.
Can you hear me?
What's your name?
Go ahead.
This is Sakari. I met you at the compound, family compound in California with a Fanny before at one of the dinners. And there's no way denying that you're not his son. You're his image. And your disposition is similar to his. The best thing that I love about Matulu, and he said it again recently, is that what we can do for one another is love. It's always off of love. And I remember even if he was correcting something that he thought that you might not be doing right, it never sounded like he was correcting you. It was just him pointing out a way to handle it, you know, that I might not have been doing. And then if I explained myself, he listened. I saw times when Fanny just really let him have it. And here it is, this giant, you know, in our struggle, listening to her, you know, and letting her have whatever her speech was. I mean, he and Lumumba, I swear, so patient, so understanding, and never, never alienating, always pulling people together and keeping them close.
Yes, thank you. And these are the stories that I yearn for, these are the round tables that I yearn to be around, because I learned from him. I mean, I learned about him from all of you. If people were, once my book is complete and the documentary is complete, you'll really get the whole full picture of my life travels. So, you know, and when you do that, that's when you're going to probably see a more of me and him type of thing, because that's what we're about, love, peace, happiness. And what you were saying, Queen, about how he have a delicate way on getting his point across, is, you know, he don't want you to seem like he's belittling you and things. His words, how he connect them to make you feel empowered, are important, you know, and that's
sure.
what I get from him as well.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's been a long time since I've seen you, but I always see the pictures of you and Fett and Mo Preen and some of the other Shakurs from Texas and so on.
I don't forget a face. Absolutely. I don't forget a face. I might forget a name, but not a face. That's why I always give everybody love when I see them, because it always comes from a good space. And to be honest with you, I never received any negative friction from anybody that he have introduced me to, they friends, they families, or anything. So it's like the spirit of the people alone is just genuine, you know? There's times that I just go to the side and have a conversation. The one thing that bugged me out, I went to a banquet. It was a political
I
went to one
that.
Of the banquets.
I love that. It was wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. So this specific one that I went to, I was with Sekou Odinga. Shout out to Sekou. I'm walking with him, and some lady out of the crowd, she just yelled out, "Oh, S-H-I-T, he's home!" And she come running to me and grabbed me. So Sekou said, "Whoa, wait, nah, that's not my dude. That's his son." She said, "Get the blank and the blank out of here. Come here, give me some love. I'm your auntie.
Okay.
That blew me away. So I didn't even know the lady. So things like that intrigued me. So I asked for her and I to sit down so she could tell me a little bit more about my dad and what you know about him and stuff. She couldn't get out the tears out of her eye. Her eyes were just watered with tears. And she just kept on staring at me, and she hugged me and cried and said, "I miss Matulu. I miss him. I miss her." I was like, wow, this is crazy. This was like too much for me for the very first time, but I understood the passion, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm listening.
I tell you, the way your father impresses people, the one significant thing that you get from him is that strength, and it never leaves you. You know, he leaves you in a solid place. I was sick, and he did acupuncture for me to relieve some of the pain. And he tried to show me how to do it. And I said, "Please, I'm not watching you stick me with a needle. Why would I do it?" But he was teaching, and there were people. He taught. He taught Aya Fulani. He taught her, and she ran with it. I mean, there were so many. What amazed me is about acupuncture, you have to know that nervous system. And do you know how complex the nervous system is? There are more nerves in your body than the muscle and bones and tissues. And I just said, wow. I mean, I knew he was a powerful thinker, man. And acupuncture can be used for torture and healing. And he would always I can't even remember the hospital in New York. It was so many people. It was like, it's hard to describe. It was like a beach, and it was in the hospital basement. And he was helping people with their addiction, with acupuncture.
The Lincoln Detox, Lincoln Hospital?
Lincoln Detox, yes. And he had doctors coming on their time off. I mean, it was every gamut of society. He knew what to do. He set up office in Harlem and was trying to set up a chair for me to braid, and I was like, I got to go back to California.
See, now, that's one of the reasons why, that's one of the point reasons why he needs to be freed as well, is because all the opioid addiction and all the drug addicted individuals that's happening now, he has the answer to all of that. He has the ability. He has the license. He has all of that to help change the dynamic of what's going on with our people out here.
And
so,
train.
You know, that's the. Say
you
again?
Also train folks. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I'm about to be. I don't know if you know Dr. Sadidi. She's one of Dad's students as well. And she wanted to teach me the trade of acupuncture, the skill of acupuncture, you know? And I'm definitely going to take her up on that real soon.
All right. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw that text and I said, oh, my goodness, because I haven't seen you since, I think, at Faney Service. And
Well, hopefully I'll be back in LA soon. But if you're in New York, get in contact with me and we could meet up and have a conversation or something.
Yeah, just Set knows I'm Aunt Sukari.
Okay, and yo, it's funny you saying that right now. I don't know if y'all hear that bing going off, but that's Set texting me now.
Right.
So I texted back. I'm on an interview right now. Be easy. So she said, okay.
Somebody's probably told her something.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, that's my sweetheart. She's going to go see him this week as well. Our dad this week as well. That's probably one of the other reasons why she's texting me as well. But but it's great speaking with you. Appreciate the conversation and the insight.
I'm loving to hear you express, you know, how you met your father, and that disconnect that really wasn't, and how you got to it on your own. You know, I mean, with the help of people that know Dr. Matulu.
Yeah. Well, it gets way deeper than was out there thus far. So just stay tuned to the documentary, you know, and the book that I'm putting together. And trust me, it's definitely going to be impactful and it's going to blow your mind from the beginning to the end.
For sure. Thank you, bro.
Stay blessed. Keep pushing forward.
Always.
Straight ahead.
Mm-hmm. Forward ever.
Okay. That's all you got to say, Mama Shakar?
Yes, I've been enjoying you most of the time. I like to listen and pay attention. It's been a long time for me to finally get the numbers, but I'm glad I got it now.
Okay, I got you, Mama. Okay, I'm gonna open line up for another caller right quick. Let me see what we got here. Okay. The next call is 815-677. The number, again, 815-677. You have any question, comment, statement for the guest, please do so at your time. 815-677.
Hey, Tyrone, it's Kristen. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Kristen? Shout out to you. I appreciate the donation and all the support you've been giving to the family, man. Appreciate you, sister.
You know we're always going to support until the wheels fall off.
Absolutely. No, it's not that you're just saying it. You've been proving it. It's like everywhere I pop up, guess who's there? You're right there. No matter what state we go to, you there. And we truly appreciate you. We do not take you for granted.
Well, you know that okay. I love and respect your whole family. I have a question for you. I wanted to know if we should write letters, even if we've never met your father, like just to tell like the parole board how he's influenced us.
No, absolutely, yes. Please do that. When you get a chance, go to the family and friends of Dr. Matulu Shakur website, and there's a outline letter that the lawyer put together, so you could follow that outline. But more or less, you're saying everything that you want to say in it, but it's just like how you title it, you know, attention, parole commissioner, or, you know, it's things like that that you put on it. But, yes, the address to where you send the letters to, you want to send it directly to the parole commission and stuff like that. Okay, yeah, so, yeah, you could go on the website and snatch that up, and it'll get to them. Or you could send it to the lawyer, Brad Thomas, People Law Office, and that's 1180 North
Milwaukee. Can you text it to me so that I have it? Because I'd like to get it to them, because I could get a lot of people to write to them to let them know that, you know, we know what a positive influence he could be on the outside and how he could influence so many people, you know, if he was out here as well as what he's done on the inside.
Well, absolutely, yes. I'll send you that information as soon as we hang up. That's not an issue at all. But any other of the listeners that's listening, just go to our family and friends of Dr. Mutulu Shakur for any donations or to send letters of support and all of that. Everything is right there for you.
And also, I think that it would be positive if we hashtag Kim Kardashian and tried to tag her and get her attention, because I know she's gone and got people pardoned, and it wouldn't hurt to try to get her to help get him pardoned.
Absolutely.
So everybody, when you make posts for Mutulu, hashtag her and tag her as well, so we can try to get her attention.
Yes, that's definitely right on the spot right there. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all I have, but thank you for this great interview.
You're welcome. We thank you. Continue pushing forward. Appreciate you.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling in. Okay, open the caller for the next caller. Let me see what we got. We have a 1-1-1-1-1 number. You have any question, comment for the guest, please do so at this time. 1-1-1-1-1. Your line is open. One 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 one. Your line is open. You have a question, comment for the guest, please do so at this time. A couple of numbers, 1-1-1 number. Okay.
You might have stepped away for a minute.
What's that, Conrad?
He probably stepped away from the phone for a minute or something.
Okay. Yeah, let me check. It's another 1-1-1 number. See what it's here. 1-1-1-1-1. You're not line is open. You have a question coming for the guest. Is that Mama Condi? Oh, hold on. I got it. Mama Kanye, your line is open.
Now you got me.
Your line is open, Mama Kanye. Okay, go ahead, Elder.
Thank you, Bomani. greetings, Shakur.
Greetings, peace and blessings. How you doing?
My name is Elder Mama Kanye, and I think I'm going to speak to you from a different point of view. I'm not going to tell you how I've known your dad over the years. I'm going to speak to you about him from another point of view. I am a holistic health care provider. I deliver babies at home for black families, hundreds of babies. I have taught black families how to...
What state are you in? What state are you in?
I'm not going to tell you. And I've helped parents to immunize their children homeopathically and herbally, and then educate them K-12. The point that I want to make in saying that is your dad doing this acupuncture thing. You see, the system doesn't like those of us whose focus is healing our people, especially since the system is structured and designed in such a way that it can kill off and imprison and destroy our people in the greatest many numbers possible. And what I've learned in what I do is how much money I cost the system.
Mm-hmm.
$5,000
yep.
per daughter, $7,500 per son delivered. And that's a major part of why they attacked your dad and they attacked.
Yeah.
I wanted to share it with you from that point of view.
Wow, that's deep. Yeah, I appreciate that there. You just enlightened me on some things that I had no knowledge of, and I appreciate that. And I see why. You know, understanding is definitely clear right now by the wisdom that you just possessed to us. I truly appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate
you. Yeah, you just keep pushing
you,
forward doing all the great work
you.
That you're doing. Say again?
I said I appreciate you. I'm proud of you. And keep doing what you're doing. And watch your back. Make sure you have those that have your back. Don't try to do anything by yourself. The ancestors
Absolutely.
Don't intend to you for you to be alone or to work alone. Continue doing the work, but do it as a communal activity, as a collective activity, because Africans are collective in our thinking, in our work, and in our being. I'm proud of you. Bless you, sweetie.
And I'm truly humbled by your grace. I truly appreciate you. Travel with much love and respect. Thank you very much. Peace and blessings to you and your family.
Oh, blessings to you, precious heart. I'm done, Bomani. Thank you.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
You're welcome, your mom, Cammy. I appreciate it. Okay, let it. Oh, over the line. I think it's a couple more calls. Over the line. Let me see who this is. Okay. Miss call is 773-707. You have any question, comment, statement for the game? Please do so at your time. Your line is open. 773-707. The line is open. Your line is open. Okay. Hold up. You got something out, Mama Connie?
Huh?
You got something out to say?
You don't have any other callers? You know I can.
Nah, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You said it's been about 5 years since you've met your baba?
Four years.
About 4 years. Bless your heart. Has he
mm-hmm.
ever spoken about a Shakur named Zaid Malik?
Absolutely. Yes. That's like almost a household. That's almost like a household name now.
Let me tell you something about your family member that you may not know. My sister and I. Her name was Nalo Talib, and she and I co-founded an independent African center school in Philly, and they used to hang out at our school. That was one of his favorite places. He come to the city and hang out with us and work with the youth and work with the babies. And, oh, man, he was beautiful. And my sister, she wrote a song for Zaid and I did the arrangement and the vocals and recorded it, produced it, and put it out there. I'll give you a little bit of it now. Zayd Malik Shakur, have you heard the name before? Zayd Malik Shakur, have you heard the name before? Was the year of 1940, on the sixth day of June. God planned all our destinies. Zayd stepped from his mother's womb.
Wow.
Zayd Malik Shakur, have you heard the name before? He took the stand of an African man. He joined the BLA. For liberty or death is the only way not to be a slave. May 9, 73, the pigs decided to bust the three. Sundiata, Asada, and Zayd Malik struggled against the enemy. How stupid the troopers in 73 who brought this plight to be. Well, a cop shot Asada, Zayd Malik shot the cop. They shot Zayd Malik and it still hasn't stopped. I said, Zayd Malik Shakur, have you heard the name before? Zayd Malik Shakur, have you heard the name before?
I want a copy of that. You got to mail me a copy. You got to mail me a copy of that soundtrack.
I think it's on my Facebook page. I created what's called Kandi Music Studio, KHANDI Music Studio. You scroll down, and I think that song is one of the songs there. If it is not, let me know through Bomani. He knows how to get in touch with me. Let me
know, and I will get someone to help me. Okay, great. Yes, yes. I was about to ask you if you could give him your number or we find some way to get in contact, you know, because yeah, I could tell you have a wealth of information and history to share with me about my dad and the family, and I appreciate it.
It would be my pleasure.
Oh, that's a blessing right there. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. I'm an elder now, so I'm trying
to... It don't sound
to...
like it. That's just a number.
Oh, bless your heart.
Your spirit sound like you right on the front line right there. It sound like you in your 20s.
I'm greeting you from the black ground.
Okay.
I like it.
Absolutely.
In the black ground.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't do so well up front, but I do real well in the background.
And that's funny. I feel the same way, but I find myself more or less in the front line nowadays. When I say front line, meaning public speaking every now and then on these talk shows, radio shows. Because I tell you, this is not my element. I don't usually be conversating like this. I usually be behind the scenes doing my little independent things, you know, help push my family along, to provide for my family best I could, stuff like that. But
we have to do it from time to time.
Yes, we do. So I just find myself just take a deep breath and just dive in. As long as I'm doing it for a better good, you know, to help change the dynamic of what's going on in our society, God got the rest. So, you know, I have him on my back, and he's going to make sure his kid is all right. That's how I see it.
And here's how I think of myself in the background, my aunt. If you look at a boat, you got the boat, the people in the boat, but you also have the rudder under the boat.
Absolutely.
That's me.
Nice.
I'm the brother.
Nice.
Every now and then I have to come up front. I don't like it. I'm not good at it. I'm getting better at it because my ancestors and elders have pushed me to do that.
But if I had my druthers, I'd be the rudder.
Yeah. I feel you, sis. I feel you. That's
I feel
right.
You too. I just want you to know you're doing a good job. Keep practicing. You get better at it. Trust me.
Absolutely. No question about that. Yes. Once again, thank you very much for your wisdom and your spirit. You got a great spirit
you,
with
sweetie.
You.
Sweetie. You're a sweetie pie. You are a precious heart. You really are.
Thank you. You're making me blush on this phone. Stop that. Only my wife doesn't make me blush.
Well, if she want to know how to make you blush, well, I know she know how to make you blush, but if she'd like to have other tips on making you blush, I can help her with that.
I got you. You funny. Well,
you know, we got to make each other smile. We have to.
Absolutely.
If we don't smile, we won't make it.
That's right.
I even have been learning how to tell jokes. Corny.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good for a laugh. And it's what I call comic relief.
Yes.
Because this struggle is so serious.
They say one good laugh a day keeps the doctor away. Yep.
Mm-hmm. If I didn't have a reason to smile, I'd pull my locks out.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's right. Yeah. Once again, peace and blessings.
Stay sane.
You do the same to me.
Okay.
Bomani?
Yes, ma'am.
How much more time we have, sweetie?
We got like 30 or something. I think the brother getting ready to go, though. Up and up.
You got to go, Shakur?
Yes, I have a couple other things lined up, but I truly appreciate the opportunity here.
I look forward to hearing from you. When Bomani gives you my number, I have some disabilities working. So the best way is to send me a text. I'm going to hear that where I won't hear the phone ring. I will hear the text message.
Well,
so that's my best way.
And guess what? That's my best way of communicating.
All right. Hi.
So you good. All right.
All right.
Relax. Keep that spirit strong.
Yes, you too, sweetie. Thank you, Bomani.
No.
Free land,
yes,
and
ma'am.
We will win this war.
Vitamin is there. Okay. Okay, brother. I got one more question before you go, right? Can you tell them about your mobile detailing company before you leave?
Oh, yes. So I started the mobile detailing because, you know, when you're in prison and before you are released, you have to come out with a master plan or not, you will be in a recidivism rate on ending up back up in prison. So I found to myself, like, listen, that's not happening to me. So let me find out what I love doing, what I like doing, and make a business out of it. So all my life, I used to always love to see nice, clean cars, and I used to love cleaning cars myself. I didn't know cleaning cars to the best of your ability, whereas it's immaculate, was titled detailing. I just like to make sure it's nice and clean. So probably like 6 months before I was released, I thought about that, and then I just started putting two and two together, figuring out how to do it, and I thought about, wow, there's a lot of car washes out here. How am I able to, you know, monopolize to whereas I have one over the regular car washes? So I figured out, like, wait a minute. What if I bring a detailing to the customer opposed to them coming to me? And then that's what I thought about, a mobile mobile detailing. So what I did was when I wrote down all the do's and don'ts and everything that I would need on a piece of paper while I was still in prison. When I came home with that piece of paper, and I didn't have any money to put it together. I just know that I'm not going to prison anymore. That's not happening. So what I said was I'm going to go get a job, find a little job to make ends meet, to really save the money to, you know, because I have a bigger goal. My goal wasn't to be at this warehouse all my life. That's not happening. So, however, make a long story short, I ended up at the warehouse, and I had got laid off because I did not want to join the union. Bad enough, I wasn't getting paid too much anyway, but joining the union, you'd have union dues and stuff like that, and my check wouldn't have been nothing. And the benefits wasn't good for the union that we was part of. So needless to say, the warehouse that I was working at, the trucking company, if you're not in a union, and this is after I've been working there for over, 8 months to a year, they laid me off. They told me I couldn't come in no more. So one of the bosses there, not the owner, but the boss, him and I had decent conversation throughout the time I was there. And all in our conversation, he used to always tell me, you don't belong here. It's something about you that, you know, this isn't for you. You have bigger goals. You have bigger aspirations to fulfill. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Then I was telling him, and then I also tell him about, you know, I want to own the business, the detailer business, and bring it full circle. Because I know I got some other things I got to do. When they fired me, he ran behind me, and he told me, listen, they wasn't supposed to do that. Here, take these papers, take them in hand, and do what they tell you to do with them, and then I get back with you. So now, I didn't really understand it, but what he was telling me is that they have to pay me for what they have done. So make a long story short, I took the papers where he needed me to take them to, and then they awarded me X amount of money. So then once he was about to give me the check, he had asked me to do what I said that I would do if I was had enough money to start the business. Because this right here, it may not be a whole lot, but it'll help you along the way. So I looked at the number that it was. I called him Boss Man. And to this day, he's one of my dear friends. I told him by the end of the month, everything that I told you about and everything that was on that paper, watch what I do with this money right here. So the first thing I did was I got a van, and I got all the equipment that was needed that they have in the car wash. I have it inside of this van right here, and I was able to wrap the van with advertisement of the name of the business. And what I did was once I had everything complete, I had the 100-gallon water supply, wet bag, power washer, generator, the whole works. I parked it outside of the building where they fired me at, and come to find out, I opened up the doors, I put the cones out, you know, I'm ready for production. Do you know majority of that building where I got fired from, I was detailing their cars right in front of that building. And I called the man that put me, you know, that told me to go to Manhattan with the this paperwork. I called him. I said, "Boss man, where are you now?" He said, "I'm on my way off the condo." I said, "Spin around real quick. I want to show you something." By the time he came around, I had like maybe 12, 13 cars lined up, ready for to get detailed by me. And he was just so happy, so happy. So my journey to the detailing thing isn't just actual just detailing. Got my 501c3 for a non-for-profit youth program that I'm putting together as well, and it's titled It Takes a Village Youth Program, a Shakur Project. And what it does is it concentrates on entrepreneurship and wraparound services, gang interventions, violence awareness, media review, you know, things that's going to keep our young adults and youth off the street. I want to make sure we have everything inside of this the youth program. But however, where the detailing coming at is going to be an entrepreneurship program, to whereas they be able to make money as they come into the program, and you know, as long as they follow the curriculum, they'll have, you know, a set amount of money that they're able to make daily. So I want to, because we have to understand, everybody isn't college bound in their mind. So do that mean that they're not supposed to survive or make ends meet? No, that's not cool. So this is a means for them to get instant gratification of finance in their pocket until they figure out what they really want to do in life. So, you know, and that's what we would teach them at It Takes a Village Youth Program, you know. And then at the same time, my wife's putting together a Western Air daycare center underneath the same umbrella. So, you know, everything takes time, everything takes funding, but this is the push that we're pushing for.
Okay. Again, I want to thank you for coming to our broadcast, so you know that we understand it. And I want to salute you for all your efforts in regard to our liberation struggle, all the work you did, and all the work you continue to do in the future, as well as in the present. I want to say free the land. And I ask you have any closing comment for the guests and callers, anything you want to leave us with in regard to information, website, anything like that.
All right. Well, first and foremost, I thank you once again, you and your team over there, for allowing us this platform to speak about this great man who is my father, and all the other people in the struggle that's pushing for our freedoms, and all the healers and doctors, those that's doing all righteous out there for a better good. I salute all of y'all. I appreciate everybody, and nothing but love in my bones for people. As far as my dad is concerned, yeah, the website again is Family and Friends of Dr. Mutulu Shakur. If you want to donate, you could go there and click on the PayPal link. Anybody that want to send letters, you send it to FMC Lexington, Kentucky, P.O. Box 14500. The zip code is 40412. If you want to send any, and please send social media shout outs, because nowadays social media is the way to go if you need to connect. We prefer you to use, if it's Twitter, it's at Free Doctor, that's DrmChakur. Instagram is at Free Doctor, that's DrmSchakur. And Facebook, that's Free Mutulu Shakur. Okay. Yeah. So with that right there, you could connect any way you can to, you know, get what's going on with my father, and, you know, to stay updated. And yeah, appreciate it. Keep pushing forward. When you get to Georgia, I'd love to meet up with you, brother, and you can chop it up and break some bread. Are you going to the Malcolm X event next? What was it? In May?
The Malcolm X Festival. Yeah. I'm gonna be up there.
Yeah, so I'll be there as well. Things go right. Yeah, I should be there. A couple of individuals I know will be taking the stage, and I'm performing. So I want to support. Okay.
Okay. Okay, I got you, Conrad. Yes, sir.
Well, y'all keep pushing forward. Y'all doing a great job with this network that y'all pushing. And I salute you. Free the land.
I didn't mean this, sir.
You know what gang violence is, mostly, and the people don't want you to hear this? Somebody shoots your family member. So, of course, you retaliate. You know what I mean? Same thing the U.S. does, except nobody even shot their family members. You know, somebody bombed a school and all these people get killed, so the United States feel like, ooh, that's messed up. We got to go show them who's the real killer. This country.
country was built on gangs. You know, I think this country still is run on gangs. Republicans, Democrats, the police department, the FBI, the CIA, those are gangs. You know what I mean? The correctional officers. I had a correctional officer tell me straight up, we the biggest gang in New York State. Straight up.
Introduce a drug called crack to a ghetto team. Got along for born niggas now. Play what it be like. When will niggas see they got us leading with three strikes? Can't seem to focus, hopeless. With violent thoughts, I wrote this. Got the devil petrified. Hot from my heart to focus. And so I learn to earn my currency in overtime. Affiliated, clearly click a military mind. May God forgive us, over 12 inside of paradise. Thugged out and drug dealers from the womb to the block. My live mind got me surviving five rounds. My 45 got me fortified with live rounds. When shit kick, we block hit. Or I drop stick, all hell, I don't bail. Wrath, let you talk a list. Forever ghetto, necessary picture food stamp. Outlaw thug niggas never left the food
stamp. I'm a real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world, to box to back.
DJ
from a soldier to death, we got from a soldier to death, from a soldier to death. We got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world, to box to back. From a soldier to death, from a soldier to death. We got from a soldier to death, from a soldier to death.
Now I was born as a rebel, making trouble for the devil. Take this gangbang shit to a whole nother level. Can you feel me now? Armies in every city, definition of power. Play it, are you ready to see the war? It's the prophecy, survival is the strategy. Rest in peace to my comrades, that's the seat. Walking out the streets in time, yeah, any devil petrified of a nigga in his right mind. They tell us that we hopeless and hellbound. It's for the brothers and penitentiary, damn, damn. I got you in my heart till the day I die. Think of the damage we can do if we wasn't high. Can you picture me low? It's the thug rap. Political contracts and bloodbath. From a Tulsa core up in the rockets, though they got you. I never let them stop me, the struggle continues.
Now, if we do want to live a thug life and a gangster life and all of that, okay, so stop being cowards and let's have a revolution. But we don't want to do that. Dudes just want to live a character. They want to be cartoons. But if they really wanted to do something that was that tough, all right, let's start our own country. Let's start a revolution. Let's get out of here. Let's do something.
Come on.